you very much for lending me 3 hours of your ears. Today, absolutely fun, a jam-packed show we have, so stay tuned. And of course, Lignora Wednesday, this hour, we're going to be joined by a phenomenal woman, Dr. Tracy Mako, who's a neurologist and the founder of the Dr. M.T. Mako Mkonza Foundation. She is a renowned neurologist and an advocate with a passion for improving the lives of individuals with neurodiverse disorders. Now, born and raised in Zebediela, Limpopo, Dr. Mako pursued her academic excellence at Medical University of Southern Africa, where she earned a Bachelor of Science degree with majors in psychology and biology. She is fascinated with the human brain, but even more so, she continues to inspire and empower individuals, families, and communities in her work through the Dr. M.T. Mako Mkonza Foundation. She tells us her story of how it all began. Somebody very interested in the human brain, and that's what I want to know, how it all began and how you got so interested in it. Dr. Tracy, welcome to Rise FM.
Thank you so much for the wonderful welcome.
Thank you for coming. Let's start at the very beginning. Where does the story of Dr. Tracy start?
The story of Dr. Tracy is that of a six-year-old girl living in a very remote village in Limpopo, where in those times when I grew up, not to disclose my age or anything, there wasn't really another doctor who looked like me, who I could, you know, look up to.
Yeah.
So it was interesting that I had to travel down to the nearest town from my village to go and see a doctor because I wasn't feeling well.
Ah.
And that is what sparked the interest to doing medicine. So fast forward to having done medicine, and now I was working. Now you have the opportunity to decide which field of medicine do you want to specialize in. You can choose to just remain a general practitioner, but that didn't quite work for me.
Yeah.
So I decided I needed to join a niche so that I know something great. So my first daughter, Mulebogeng, was diagnosed with autism when she was about 2.5. And because autism is a brain condition, then I decided best way to motherhood is to study the brain.
Yeah.
You know, to study the brain so that whatever it is that happens to her, I can sort of know where does this come from, what is she trying to communicate, and that kind of a thing. So that's
very interesting. You know, I really wonder what inner strength or mindset has helped you break through barriers in your life and your career.
It is important that one is authentic.
Yeah.
Because without authenticity, you would like to look like everybody else that you come across.
Absolutely.
You would like, you know, the perfect life of a white picket fence, working mom and dad and 2.5 children. I don't know how we have the half, but that is the, you know, the standard of success that has been set by everyone out there. But for me, I realized that my journey is not going to be similar to any other person's journey. And therefore, I needed to be able to do things that speak particularly to me.
Yeah. But in doing things that speak particularly to you can be quite difficult, and especially in the world that we live in now with the many standards that are there. How do you really find your confidence, especially in the midst of darkness? How do you find, or, you know, kind of remind yourself of your purpose in knowing that this is who I am and I need to stick to being myself, to being authentic?
The issue is, do we all know our purpose? Just to remind everyone that I didn't necessarily change my purpose because I became a mother. Before I even had thoughts of motherhood, I've always wanted to be in the medical space.
True.
And that needed for me to be resolute. It needed to for me to be able to persevere.
Yeah.
If you can imagine, medicine is probably one of the longest courses to study, you know. And in studying that, you meet a lot of failure, you know. in high school or even primary school, it might be easy to say, you know, I was top of my class, I was this and that and the other thing. But once we get to medical school, because medicine is so broad, you realize that there are certain things that even though you love medicine, you are not great at. And it's about just developing a strategy of survival, knowing as much as you need to know in order to be a great general practitioner.
That
was my strategy of survival, basically. And having a lot of support also helps. You know, support from your peers. One person is struggling with A and another is struggling with B. And the one who is good at B supports the one who is good at A so that we can cross support each other.
True.
So I think that was great about medical school for me.
Absolutely. Speaking of medical school, I mean, you have collaborated with health departments and businesses and multidisciplinary teams. So what role does community and collaboration play in empowering both families and professionals to address neurodiversity?
I always say a neurodiverse person might not even be aware that they are neurodiverse. Right? Because neurodiversity doesn't necessarily speak to the intellectual capacity of the person. There is a third, a third, and a third. So there are some people with neurodiversity who are of low intelligence. There are a third of people with neurodiversity who are of normal intelligence. And the other third are people of high intellectual potential, actually. So the awareness of the community helps us to identify people with neurodiversity. That is the most important thing, because I see a lot of adults reach adulthood without even having a diagnosis.
You know, it's quite interesting that you mentioned that. I really want us to touch on us as African people, or rather, let me say, the Black community. Do you think we are coming a bit more aware of neurodiversity and that there are different people out there and it is okay and you can get assistance from it?
I think we have come a long way. What I appreciate about the end of our previous era is that now we are living in a society where there is minimal segregation. So it means we have equal opportunity to interact with people of different cultures, and let that not be a crime. And in so doing, we can learn a lot from other cultures and how they embrace disability at large. You know, because with children with neurodiversity, it is easy for people to assume that all of them fall under a same group of condition. Okay, so they will refer to everyone as a slow learner, you know. And it's not necessarily because they are slow of learning all the time. It's just that when we don't know what to refer to it as, then we say this one is a slow learner. Or we say this one is hyper, or this one can't learn. That used to be a thing that would separate the children from normal learning environment. And now the government has come up with a strategy of inclusion. So meaning all of us need to know what the child has.
Absolutely.
And we have beautiful parents who now have the ability to ask questions. You know, they present with a small child and they say, "Doctor, this I don't see well." And then in that interaction, you are able to also teach. And word of mouth and storytelling has always been the opportune thing that we as African people learn. So if I can tell my story, another parent would say, but I've noticed
I've seen the similarities.
I've seen the similarities between what this lady is saying and my own child. And therefore they are urged to then go ahead and say, I'm going to go to this professional to go and seek assistance and see if there is a diagnosis or there isn't.
Well, Doc, we're running out of time, but I really want us to also touch on your upcoming memoir, Unspoken Yet Remembered, which is a very deeply personal story. How do you hope sharing your own experiences of motherhood and resilience will inspire other parents, especially mothers facing similar challenges?
I am hoping that my memoir says to the next mother that just because it is difficult, it doesn't mean that it's not possible.
Mm.
So if you were to break the word impossible into, you know, three syllables, it says, I am possible. So that is the message that I am trying to bring across. To say raising a child with a disability might be one thing that everyone views as, you know, the toughest deal anyone can be dealt.
Yeah.
But we all are capacitated, you know. If you are a person who believes in the Bible says the Lord equips those that he has chosen.
Amen.
So I believe that I was chosen and therefore I am equipped. And so are all the other mummies who are dealing with children who are challenged in one way or another. So they are equipped. It's just that they need to find their purpose and they need to find their strength.
Absolutely. Doc, thank you very much for coming on to the show. This is why you are our Lignora Wednesday for today.
It's nice to be a Lignora.
Absolutely. It's always great to be a Lignora. Thank you very much for coming into the studio. Miss B actually tells me that your practice is in White River?
No, my practice is just here opposite where you are.
Oh.
It is in Riverside Medical Center.
Oh, right here.
Yes.
Oh,
it's
lovely.
Just right next door to you.
Lovely. Well, now we know. Thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Thank you so much.
It's Rise FM. Feeling.